God, you are our everything. God, we thank you that you love us once again. God, we can't say that enough. And God, we need you. We need your love. We need your encouragement. We need your blessings. We need your direction in each step of our life. So God, right now, steady our hearts to be focused fully on you. And God, right now, as the kids prepare to go to Sunday school, God, I pray that you would calm them, calm their minds, calm their hearts, Father, so that they can fully engage in your goodness and what you have for them. Father, be with their teacher. Give her patience and strength. And just bless her for working with these children and just pouring into them. God, be with the rest of our service today. Guys. We'll let the kids get out of here. Everything's good there, Nora? Everything's good to go? Okay. Good. I'll let these guys just kind of, I'm taking over this from Gary and making a mess of his music, but I'm sorry, Gary. So yeah, acreage living, we're starting to get used to it now, guys. It's pretty nice. Until Friday night when I was driving home and the police were deciding to do random checks and we're driving along. I'm going the speed limit. Well, I'm actually going slower than the speed limit because we're enjoying the stars because you don't get to see stars when you're in the city, right? Like you can see them, but you can't see them. It's kind of like when we're at the lake. You can really see them. They really stand out. And so Ella, Nora, and I were looking at the Little Dipper and looking at different things. Is that a satellite? So I'm kind of swerving around the road a little bit. And I'm on the old highway. And then way back, all of a sudden, I see these lights go on. I'm like, I wasn't speeding. Maybe he thinks I was drinking because I was swerving all over the place. But I'm good. So this should be a piece of cake. And I'm a little overconfident. And so the two officers come up to my window and they identify who they are and they ask, where am I heading? And I said, oh, just heading to my house. Well, where's that? So I tell them, but I don't know exactly where I'm at. So I kind of say, it's right over there, those lights. It's one of your former officers' houses. And okay, do you have your license and registration? And I say, yep, no problem. I open up my center console and we start searching. I can't find my license and registration. And I'm panic stricken because I'm like, this is not good. I'm an Alberta registered vehicle still, which makes it even worse. And so the lady officer comes up, is there a Sheila? And I'm like, no, it should be Dave and Stacy. No, we're only getting a Sheila on this. Are you sure this is your vehicle? Yes, no, I'm sure. Please check again. And meanwhile, I got Ella and Nora looking everywhere. Ella's pulling stuff out of the glove box. And we can't find the license and the registration and the insurance papers. So I'm like, oh boy. So the officers, they come back and they say, okay, we got it. Can we just see your license? Yep. I'm thinking, I'm getting a ticket and my truck's being impounded. And they're like, we're going to trust you that you have it. And let you go. And I'm like, thank you. I do. And we got home and we start taking our phones and flashlights and shining them everywhere. Nowhere to be found. So then we go in the house and we're looking. And I'm like, wait a second. I took it in the church with me. So I open up my backpack, which I normally always have with me. My Star Wars cool backpack. And I always have it with me. But I didn't have it that night. And there, lo and behold, was my folder with license and registration. And I took a big sigh of relief thinking I did not get a ticket and we didn't get impounded. So all in all, it's been great. Other than that one little thing which didn't turn into anything. And we're running on propane heat now, so which is also very good. Our 1.5 day install turned into 3 days, but that's okay. It's warm. Protection is what we're going to talk about today. Miracles of protection. And we've been talking about miracles for, what, 3 weeks now? This is the fourth week. We talked about miracles of deliverance, and then we spent 2 weeks talking about miracles of healing, and this week, miracles of protection. So, how many of you, and we kind of talked about this, ever prayed the type of prayer like this, like, God, if you just get me through this, or God, just save me right now, God, don't give me this ticket, or God, I'll drive slower if you just help me get out of the ditch here, God, like, I will do better. Like, I think many of us have prayed a prayer like that at some point in our life. Maybe it was like some of the kids, God, if you get me through this test that I didn't study for, if you let me pass this so my parents don't take away my phone, God, I'm going to do much better at reading my devotions. God, just get me home safe. So we're going to talk about the miraculous power that God has to protect, to save, to deliver us. And it's kind of an interesting one. I think it's very interesting because I've got a couple stories. And last week I shared some stories just about healing and about how God miraculously and supernaturally healed my parents and family members, and just as words of encouragement. So I've got a couple stories of God's protection, miraculous protection that I'd like to share. And we're going to get to those in a few minutes. So Psalm 37, verse 39 tells us about God's power to protect. And it says, "The Lord rescues the godly. He is their fortress in times of trouble." The Lord rescues the godly. Our God has the power to save, to deliver, to rescue, and the power to protect. How many of you would say at a certain point God reached in and saved you, rescued you, supernaturally stepped in and I see some hands, supernaturally stepped in and intervened on a situation, right? He knew what was going to happen and did something to protect you. So, I got a story. So, I think I shared this story a little bit but I tore my knee ligaments in high school playing football really badly and was carted off the field, taken to the hospital. So, I couldn't play for a while, and I was supposed to go watch the rookie team play up in another town, the rookie football players. So I was going to hop in with some buddies. And at the time, I was going to church, but I was just going to church. I was partying it up, and these guys were partiers, so it was a great situation. We were going to have a lot of fun on this trip up to Bonneville. And even though I had a torn ligament, I could walk with a crutch, and it was good, right? No problem. But here's what happened. I woke up that morning in pain, and my knee had swollen up overnight. For some reason, they don't know, because the swelling had been under control. This had been a couple weeks after I tore it. And things were under control. Things were on the mend. We were healing. So I was like, guys, my knee is pretty sore. I don't think I'm going to go with you. And through that trip, while those guys were driving up, they were drinking and driving, doing other things and driving that's now legal. But they lost control of their vehicle, hit an embankment. And three big guys, it would have been four big guys, in this compact little Nissan truck, Datsun truck maybe. It's a Datsun. It was before Nissan was big. Hit at the ditch, drove in the ditch, hit an embankment, and something came through the back window and hit my friend in the back of the head and killed him instantly. My other friend was wearing his seatbelt, and as he was being thrown out of the vehicle, broke both of his legs, and he's got a permanent limp. My other friend, the guy that broke his legs was the passenger side. My other friend, he got a pretty bad concussion, some pretty bad injuries, and had to go to jail for manslaughter. I could have very well been in that vehicle. Likely, had I been in that vehicle, I'd have been the one sitting in the middle of that seat and taken the full blow of that block or whatever came through the window. And that, to me, that is a story of God protecting me supernaturally. There's no reason why my knee was sore that day. I had been walking fine for a week with no aches, pains, discomfort. And for whatever reason, that morning I woke up, I did nothing different. The day before, I just sat on my butt and watched TV. So it's not because I overworked it. There's no reason why. It was healing. But God protected me. So I have a couple thoughts, and the first would be this. Long before you face something unexpected, something difficult, something tragic, our God has a plan. I've got some examples, but God always has a plan. It's a good plan. I'll follow that up. So long before the rain flooded the earth, God already had a plan for Noah, for Noah's family, for the right animals to be on the boat. God had a plan to protect Noah. Do you believe that? It wasn't just chance. It wasn't just let me roll the dice and see what happens and, oh, Noah, you're the lucky winner. I couldn't figure out the name of that game last week and I still don't remember it, where you roll the dice and you get 7 or 11 or craps. Is that the one? Okay, so it's not like we're playing craps there and, oh, let's see how this one ends up. God has a plan for our life. We make choices within that plan, but he has a plan. Before Jonah was ever thrown overboard, God had a plan for this fish to come along and rescue him, swallow him up, and take him safely to shore. God had a plan for Jonah. Long before the Israelites were ever cornered by the Egyptian soldiers, on one side, a mountain on the other, and a sea on the other, God had a plan to part the Red Sea that they could escape on dry ground. Do you believe that God has a plan for your life? So what does this mean for us? There might be some of us here who find comfort and long before you discover the news about your health or before you lost your job or like me in high school and some in college, before that girl broke my heart, God had a plan. There's a couple girls that broke my heart. Dwight knows all about this from me. I think I poured out my heart in your office before once. It was like 25 years ago, Dwight. Don't worry. I remember it well. You told me there's going to be another. Not to worry. And look, Stacy and 5 kids later. Worked out wonderful. Sorry. But God has a plan. Long before we thought about buying a house or having kids, getting a new job, God had a plan. Right? God is a God who can miraculously rescue, save, protect, and bless, though, right? He can commission angels from heaven to guard people, his people, at a word. My snaps really suck, I'm sorry. At a word. He can call the angels to protect us. At a word. He can shut the mouths of hungry lions. At a word. Probably less than a word. He can calm raging seas. He can calm the storm. Long before we ever face the problem, we need to embrace a truth that I think really should minister to our hearts. Before we face anything, God has a plan. Always. So let's read Acts chapter 16. So I'll give you the story, the backstory behind this. This is Acts. I don't have the scripture because I break and then have another slide. So don't worry, this isn't me, my version. This is actual scripture. Acts 16. But we read about this girl, and she was a slave to these guys. And she was predicting the future. And she was possessed by a demon. But she was predicting what was to come, what was to happen. And her owners were making a lot of money off of her. They were probably gambling on the chariots or lions, or I don't know what they gambled on back then, but she was making a lot of money for these guys. Okay? And Paul and Silas, they kind of got sick of her doing this and were kind of getting annoyed. So they turned around and cast this demon out of her. And suddenly, these guys that were making profit off this girl lost their cash cow. They lost their moneymaker. And they got upset, so they started running around telling some lies about Paul and Silas. And they started a bit of a riot that was completely baseless and untruthful. And Paul and Silas were kind of the center of this riot, and people were going after them. And let's read what Scripture says. The crowd joined the attack against them, and the magistrates tore the clothes off Paul and Silas and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had beaten them severely, they threw them into prison and commanded the jailer to guard them securely. Why do you guard two guys that are unarmed, that are just kind of minding their business, securely? What's the concern, right? Receiving such orders, he threw them into the inner cell, fastened their feet in the stocks, and about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the rest of the prisoners were listening to them. They were probably listening to them and thinking, these two guys are idiots. They are crazy. What are they singing for? They just got beaten. Stuff happened. And now they're in jail. What are they singing for? Like, seriously, come on, guys. You're stuck in prison. Nobody can even hear you. And then suddenly, a great earthquake occurred so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately, all the doors flew open and the bonds of all the prisoners came loose. It's a pretty cool story. So, what do we read here? We read that the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten, right? They're thrown into prison, and the jailer's told to guard them very carefully. Like I said when we were reading that, why worry about these two guys? Why? They're just two guys. Why do they need to be guarded so carefully? So, like it says there, Paul and Silas are praying and singing hymns to God. They just went through a tough situation. Things weren't great. But God had a plan to miraculously protect them. So what did these guys do? They weren't moping and gloom and doom and, oh, we're stuck in this prison. Like, Silas, did you see a way out when we were being drug in here? No, Paul, I didn't. Okay, well, we got to get somebody to do a distraction. Did you bring the bobby pin so we can pick the locks? Like, there's none of this talk happening. They're not like, why did God let us get into this prison? Like, God didn't let them get into the prison. The idiots that are telling lies got them into the prison. Right? God didn't put them in the prison. So they're not sitting there moping, gloom and doom, crying about it. They're not sitting in this gross cell thinking it's all over. How can we keep going? Like, God, come on. No, what are they doing? They're singing and worshiping and giving God praise and lifting up their hands, lifting up their hearts, lifting up their voices, and they're giving God praise. That's what they're doing in this situation. And all the other prisoners are like, what are these two doing? Right? I said, they're crazy. In prison. It's disgusting in here. We're in the inner prison. We're not in the luxury prison for the 60-plussers on the outside. We're in the inner prison. So, even when you don't see a way out, even when you're thinking you're locked up, even when you feel like I got no hope, like I don't see a way out of this. Even when maybe people around you have been beating you down, you feel like you've been stripped down and beaten, God shows up. And suddenly there was such a violent earthquake, the foundations of this prison shook. That's a pretty big earthquake, guys. And they shook. And the prison doors flew open. And the chains came loose. That's a miracle. God intervened. He shook this prison. Doors flew open. Chains fell off. Isn't that what happened? Isn't that what we said a miracle was? When God of heaven intervenes on earth. I find something very interesting, though, in this scripture. And maybe it's not interesting to you guys, but I think it's pretty darn interesting. When did Paul and Silas worship? When did they sing praises to God? What's that? Midnight at night. But what was going on? Did the miracle happen yet? No, not yet. Not yet. See, the thing that's interesting to me is Paul didn't wait to worship until after the miracle. Paul worshiped before the miracle. Paul and Silas were singing praises to God before the miracle happened, before they could physically see it. I'm sure they were prayed and they asked for it. See, they were praying and singing hymns. They prayed. I'm sure they asked for release, to be released from prison. But they sang praises. They sang hymns to God. They worshiped Him. They didn't wait until after they physically saw the miracle. Once they asked, they knew the miracle was in process. Might happen today, might happen tomorrow, they don't know, but they're trusting God and they're praising God through the process. Just like the seed we saw talked about planted, right? You see the seed planted, you don't see it at work, but you know it's sprouting. You know it's getting roots. You know stuff's happening. And you're praising God for the harvest. That's what's interesting to me about this. I don't know. I hope it's interesting to you guys. I think it's very interesting because I think it should change our perspective of how we live our lives. Because I think a lot of us, what we do is we pray, you know, God, I got this sore leg. God, please take it away. And we wait for it to be healed. And maybe it's not healed the next day. And I don't know if you know this, but I got the sore leg. We talked about it yesterday. Okay, that should be healed now. Oh, it's not healed the next day. No, you say the prayer, and now you give Him praise. That's why the Hebrews say what we sometimes call the sacrifice of praise. Have you ever heard that? The Hebrews brought the sacrifice of praise. We know the song, or most of us know the song. I should have told Mary to prepare the song. I like that song. It's a classic 80s song. It's 80s, right? I'm pretty sure it's 80s. I remember singing it when I was a little kid, and my mom telling me to stand up, stand up. I'm pretty sure it was 80s. I have recollection of that story in my head, of her telling me to stand up during that song. Anyway, I'm totally sidetracked. Sorry. See, we're worshiping God for what He has to do, or what He's doing. For what we haven't necessarily seen, but we know is coming. We are worshiping our God. And that's exactly what Paul and Silas were doing there. See, here's why. No, jump back. Oh, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you're on the right slide. You're on the right slide. I apologize. See, here's what happens. I believe that when we ask God for something, ask God for healing, ask God to intervene on our behalf, we're waiting and we're asking and we're waiting and we're asking. But we're not supposed to worship God for what He's doing. We're not worshiping God necessarily. Oh, God, thank you for just healing my leg. No, we're worshiping God because who he is. He's the healer. He sent his son Jesus to earth to die for our sins. We worship God because of all these things, because he has a good plan for our life. That's why we're worshiping God. The cool thing when we're worshiping him about thanking him for our healing our leg is because he's the healer. He's got a good plan. All those things are byproducts of who he is. It's a sacrifice of praise. We may not feel anything yet. We may not see a change yet. You noticed both yets there, though, didn't you, John? But you know it's coming. And we're going to continue to sing praises and worship his name because of who he is. We thank him because of who he is, because we know that he has a process and a purpose and a plan, and it's to do good things so that people can see who he is, because he's a good God. And we need to continue to thank him. So when do we worship God? We worship him when we feel him, and we worship him when we don't. We worship him when we see his power at work, and we worship him when we don't see it yet, but we know he's at work. When Nathan plants seeds in the ground, when you seed, that's the term, my farmer knowledge. When you plant seeds in the ground, you don't wait to start fertilizing or doing whatever else you need to do to that ground until you see a sprout. You get out there and get to work before you see the sprout, right? It's the same thing here. We don't wait to see the response, the result and the response from God. We get at it and we get worshiping him because of who he is. That's why we worship him. We worship him when we see his power at work, though, and we worship him when we don't see it yet. We worship him when we see his hand, and we worship him when we don't yet see his hand. We know he is at work. We just don't see it yet. We worship him because of who he is. I can't say that enough. That's our purpose for worship, because of who he is. See, there's times that we've just been praying and praying and praying and asking and asking and asking and asking and asking and asking, and it's a broken record and still nothing yet. I keep praying and believing and praying and believing and asking and asking, and I don't see it yet. And I keep praying. But we don't stop praying. See, here's what we need to do. This might be controversial. This might be counter to what you believe. But I think it's something that is valid for all of our lives. I think maybe we just need to stop praying a little bit, guys. And we need to start praising him. And let me phrase that in a way that maybe is clear. We, in our prayers, need to stop asking and start praising. Do you understand what I'm saying? When we pray, we can ask, yeah. But let's start giving him praise in that prayer. Let's start the next prayer. Let's just give him praise. Let's just thank him. We need to thank God before we see anything. We need to thank God before we see the answer. God, I'm just going to offer you a sacrifice of praise because of who you are. Are you offering a sacrifice of praise all the time? Maybe just instead of focusing on that prayer, start offering that sacrifice of praise. Stop focusing on the need and start focusing on God and who he is and what he's done and what he's going to do. Let's start offering sacrifices of praise. Before there was the miracle, Paul and Silas were praising God. Not because of what you see he's done, but because of who he is. So let's keep reading this scripture. There we go. Thanks, Nora. So when the jailer woke up and saw the doors of the prison standing open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he assumed the prisoners escaped. But Paul called out loudly, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." Calling for lights, the jailer rushed in and fell down trembling at the feet of Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They're in the middle of the prison. It's midnight. They're praising God. God shows up and there's an earthquake. Shackles are loosened. Doors fly open. There's a miracle. Then the jailer wakes up and sees this. He's like, "It's done. Might as well save them the problem. Let me off myself here." So he draws his sword. And Paul says, No. We're over here. Don't worry. Don't do it. We haven't left yet." And the jailer's like, "Oh my goodness. Who is this God you are singing about? Because obviously he is real." And not only did Paul introduce the jailer to Christ, but also the jailer's entire family came to know the grace and goodness of God and have salvation through Christ. Not only was Paul saved, but so was the jailer, their family, and a church rose up from this. So what do we see? Before Paul went to prison, God had a plan. Before they went to prison, God created the plan, had the method for them to get out, knew what was going to happen. See, sometimes things look different than we expect, don't they? Sometimes things look different than we expect. No, you're jumping ahead. What's going on here, Nora? God often protects you in ways we don't understand. Sometimes you're like, you're driving, I got a meeting, I got to get to this meeting. I left on time, I got an hour, I gave myself an hour and 15 minutes just to be safe. And I'm driving away and all of a sudden a train shows up. And you're like, "Stupid train. God, why did you put this train here?" And the train goes by and you start driving and all of a sudden you see there's lights up there and an ambulance and fire trucks and police cars and everything. And there's an accident. And maybe God protected you from that accident. You don't know. Sometimes it looks different than we think. Maybe you wanted to get accepted to that school. And you didn't. You're like, "Come on, God. Like, why? That school was perfect for me." Maybe he was protecting you from something there. You don't know. I remember, this is an embarrassing story, but I remember praying to God, "God, let me date this girl. She is pretty cute." Okay, I didn't say she's pretty. I said she's hot. "God, she's pretty hot. She seems funny. Connect well with her. She seems sweet." And God didn't grant that prayer request. And I'm sure glad he didn't, because her parents were nuts. Like nuts, with a capital N-U-T-S, nuts, like nuts. Praise God for that. But as we get to know the goodness and faithfulness of God, we will know that long before we ever face a problem, before we ever see an issue, God has a plan in place. And I want to restate something I said earlier. God did not put that issue in your place. God didn't put Paul and Silas in jail. God didn't make you stub your toe. But he has a plan. We live in a fallen, sinful world. And God has a plan. And he's at work in all things. Sometimes God's eternal purposes don't align with our temporary plans. That's part of learning to walk in his plans, though. Because I'll tell you guys what. I don't know how many of you can see 1,000 years down the road, but I can barely see 1,000 seconds in front of me sometimes, right? God has this eternal plan. And we need to understand that his eternal plan is great. And it's greater than my 10-minute plan or my 5-minute plan or my 5-year plan. We just need to trust his plan because it's a good plan. We need to know that he is at work making things, orchestrating his good plan out. So what do we do? If God can miraculously protect, what should we be doing? We should be praying for protection, shouldn't we? So what did Jesus do? He taught us to pray. Deliver us from evil. Protect us, right? Is that what not Jesus said in the prayer? To deliver us from evil? So if we serve a God that can protect us, if we serve a God who can deliver us, how do we live as followers of Christ? It's pretty simple. We pray for God's divine protection in our life. Pretty simple. And I hope you all do. I really do. I hope every day, if you're married, you're praying protection for your spouse, praying protection for your marriage, praying protection over each other, and that nothing can come between you. If you're not yet married, I pray you're praying for your future spouse. You're praying protection for them. Praying, I hope that you're praying for them for purity. I hope you're praying for them for passion for Jesus. I hope you're praying for your friends' families. I hope you're praying protection for the person to the right of you and to the left of you, if it's not your spouse, that is. Because if it's your spouse, you should already be praying for them, because we talked about that, right? I'm going to be selfish here, and I'm going to say, I hope you're praying for me as your pastor, because I need it. I hope you're praying protection for your children. How do you pray? How do you pray in that? God, put angels around them, God. Protect them. Guard them. Protect their hearts. Protect their minds. Protect their spirits, because the world is an awful, awful place. Forces of darkness are trying to come against them each and every day. God, protect them. Kids are stupid, rude people. Not all of them, but I have a friend that her kid's like grade 1 and somebody called him fat. And this kid came home and ran to his closet and hid in his closet. The kid's chubby, husky at best, is what his mom said. No, it's not me. But this poor kid, pray protection over your kids because people are ignorant and rude. Pray that God would guard their hearts, their minds, their spirits. Pray protection from influences. Every day, I'm sure kids are bombarded, that's the word. Bombarded with negative thoughts and negative influences. Drugs, alcohol, sexual things. I'm not going to dive into that one because that's a huge black hole we're going to jump into. But all these things, we need to pray protection for our kids. That God would protect their minds. That God would surround them. That God would walk with them through the hallways of their hallways of school. That they would know that they are created in God's image. And that they are just fine because God has a plan and a purpose for them. And that they can call in the name of Jesus. If somebody's coming at them, somebody's coming against them, they can say, get behind me, Satan, because you have no authority over me. I'm a child of God. And after we pray for all these things, let's sing a song of thanksgiving. Let's give God praise. Let's lift his name up and say, thank you, Jesus, for saving my family. Thank you, God, for your protection. Thank you, God, for your blessing. Thank you, God, for walking us. Thank you for walking with us and walking ahead of us. Are we singing that song of praise, or are we just continually going back and saying, God, just do this. just one more time, God. And are we just begging? Are we begging like a dog, or are we saying, thank you, God? Thank you, God, for stepping in this situation. Mary, can you and the team come up and just play a song, any song? It's like picking a card. Guys, I can't stress this enough. He's a good God. We need to call on his name, and we need to give him praise. He deserves our praise. Not because we have to. This is the thing. We don't have to do any of this. But we should, because he's worthy of it. He deserves it. We should be giving him thanks in all things. Singing praises and thanksgiving to his name. All things. He deserves praise. So I encourage you guys. Sing praises. Sing thanksgiving to him. Because he deserves it. He's a good God and he has a good plan. So guys, I'm going to invite you to stand. Next week's the last message on this miracle series. And we're going to talk about provision. But right now, guys, what I'm going to ask you to do, and we're going to do something a little weird. And I'm going to ask Ella, Nora, and Megan to go towards the Sunday school classroom. Eleanor and Megan, go to the Sunday school classroom door area. And I'm going to ask us to turn and face those classrooms and those kids that are in school. And we're going to specifically pray again for these kids. And I'm just going to ask you to reach out your hand, and we're just going to pray for them. Let's just pray. Father God, right now we come before you, God, and we ask, God, that you would protect each and every one of our kids. Each and every child. Sorry, I'm going to pause here. Kat, I'm sorry, I don't know your son's name. Well, can you go over there too? I'm sorry, I just realized you were there. I'm sorry, we're praying for all of our kids. Let's go. God, we pray that your hand would touch upon each and every one of these kids, our kids, Father. We pray that you would protect their minds, God. Father, protect them from evil on their minds and impure thoughts, God. Influences, Father, we pray that you would protect them and bind them in your name. God, we pray for their spirits and their hearts, God, that they would be soft to things of you and hard against evil. That they would stand firm against evil, God, but they would be soft to things of you. So, God, we thank you for protecting their hearts. We thank you for protecting their minds. God, we pray for their bodies now, God. God, we pray that you would protect their bodies, God. Father, any thought of harm, any thought of injury, anybody coming against them to hurt them physically, God, we pray protection, God. God, we pray for them for purity, Father. God, that their bodies would be whole for you. Jesus, we praise you and thank you that you protect them from head to toe, inside and outside. God, we thank you for them. We thank you for the blessing that they are to us. We thank you that they are amazing, God, and we thank you that you have blessed them to us, God. We thank you that you've entrusted them to us. And Father, each of us standing here, God, have a right to step in and help. Father, if we see them on the street, if we see them out in public, God, we know we have that calling on our lives, God, and we pray that you would just allow us to walk in that focused calling of guarding them, of protecting them, of encouraging them to walk in the things of you. So Jesus, I praise you and thank you. God, we give glory to your name in the all things. And Father, for each and every one of us, I pray that you would give us a heart and a focus to pray for our spouses, for our families, for our friends, God. God, I pray that we would have an impact and that we can impact each other, not just through our prayer, but through our attitudes, through our positive attitudes that you have given us. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to sing King of My Heart. just encourage you to sing it from a place of belief as we declare God's goodness over every situation in your life.